Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
When JJ spoke with us at the end of the season, he gave us no indication at all that he was unhappy or anything like that. Has that changed? And if so, what's changed?
Yeah, I mean, I thought at the exit meeting with JJ, with me and Lindy separately, we both were very positive, productive, honest conversations about, you know, things he'd done well and how he progressed and things where he needed to be better. And I think that's one of the things I really like about, you know, JJ Paterka is his ability to analyze his own game and say, hey, I need to be better defensively. I need to, you know, do more to help the team win in games. And I think that's a sign of maturity from him. So, no, that's all positive on the JJ front there from those conversations.
So is he asked to be moved?
you know, this is the best way I would say. I don't think it's probably productive or beneficial for me to get into specifics on our players right now. This is the time of year where there's so much going on, and you know, there's probably, Mike, a lot of misinformation out there, and I guess probably leave it at that. You know, we have a plan that we came out of the end of the season with. You know, after the exit meetings, after the coaches' meetings, and you kind of break down the season and start to forecast, like, what are we looking to do, meetings with ownership, you know, all that happens. You come out with a game plan and a to-do list of where do we go from here, and, you know, we're executing that plan. We're in the process of it. It's an exciting week, busy week ahead, but, you know, you look back at the last couple months and, you know, hiring Yarmo, hiring Eric, Stahl, Brian Gallivan, completely retooling the strength conditioning department. Just looking at areas that we thought we needed to be better, change. We've been doing that, and now we're just kind of in that you know, process of now we're draft week and we continue. But you know, it's been an exciting, for me personally, off season so far, and some of the additions we've made, and we'll keep at it here.
Through all that's not no.
Well, I don't want to say yes or no, because I just don't think it's the right time. You know, and I can probably, after the draft, get, you know, and when we have other conversations, get into more specifics on things. But I just don't think it's fair to the player, to be honest with you, to really even respond to that. I think it's just better to keep it to the fact that we have a plan, we're working towards helping our team get better, we're willing to do whatever it takes to get better. And I don't know, like, I get memos on my desk every morning from PR of things, and I feel, if I'm being honest, like, I feel bad for our fans. The stuff that's out there, there's so much misinformation, so much of it's nonsense. I mean, someone that has no idea what they're talking about reporting that we were going to buy Sammy out. We've never had that conversation once. Like, it's ridiculous. So I don't even think it's worth me really getting into it, but and I guess I'd just leave it at that. No, I think it's like we do every year, and Jerry and his staff do a great job being prepared for everything. I would say I've had conversations up to this point, from teams that are all the way up at the top of the draft right to teams behind us, you know, preparing for every possible scenario, moving up or down, which you've seen us do in the past. And also being able to willing to move the pick all together. If there's a way to make our team better, and it involves pick nine, we'll have zero hesitation. In saying that, we also believe we'll get a good player if we make pick nine. So to me, that's the exciting part of the draft, you know, going through this process. But we're wide open, but our focus remains the same. How do we help our team get better? I'd say imperative might not be the right word, but open to it more than maybe I've been in past years would be fair. You know, like I think we had to really kind of try to build this organization up the appropriate way. And I do believe in building through the draft and developing players and making sure you have depth in your organization, which is, you know, which I think we've done a really solid job of. Have a good group of prospects, good group of players that aren't even in Rochester yet that are coming. So does it give you the comfort of saying if we move pick nine, you know, we still have a lot of young, good assets? Absolutely. But I don't think you want to go into it saying, hey, I'm just moving this pick no matter what. These are valuable picks, and but you're open to everything. And trust me, the league knows that I'm absolutely open to moving pick nine if it's the right deal for us. From the draft specifically, it's when you're talking about ordering your list, you know, it's especially in the top couple rounds, you're taking the best player available. As you get later in the draft, do you maybe get off your list a little because you've drafted maybe some forwards, you want to take a D? Then that's, you know, something you look at. But I think we've got good prospects and depth across the organization, and our philosophy won't change. We'll take the best available player if we're making that pick at nine.
Is there anything positionally in particular?
Well, I think, you know, in general, you're always going to say that you'd love to have a good depth on the D, especially right shot D are hard to come by. So if you can build that, in saying that, we have multiple right shot D in our system that are coming. So centers, defensemen, goaltenders, you know, that's all. Maybe some wingers mixed in there. Just depth, and make sure that you're adding to your pipeline. But, you know, I defer. I have a lot of respect for Jerry, Jason Nightingale, our amateur staff. We have our January meetings where I get to know these players for the first time, and then I start to get more involved on the amateur side after the January meeting. And then we had our May meetings where you really dig in and you spend a lot of time morning till night going through all these players. So I've familiarized myself by this point with many players. And then I love the work our guys do, and I love the passion they show. And that's what, you know, when it all comes together, Friday, Saturday is a lot of fun for me to watch our amateur guys debate and, you know, hopefully get to the right answers.
When you started building this thing, there was a big emphasis on guys that wanted to be here. And I'm curious, as you get to this point, you know, whether it's JJ or any of these other guys, there's contract situations, there's the frustration of losing. Like, how do you draw that line of, like, maybe a guy doesn't want to be here, but you have team control and you're kind of trying to find that balance between basically giving guys
Yeah.
Get traded at any time. Like, how do you kind of find that line now that you're 5-6 years into
this? Yeah, I mean, I think just it's important to have people in your organization, players, coaches, staff that believe in what you're doing and want to be here for the right reason. And I'm sure I've said this before, but I'll make the point that you know, paying someone more money, hoping that they'll make them happy, isn't usually a recipe for success. You know, you have to have players that buy into and believe what you're doing and wake up every day in Buffalo excited to be a Sabre. I think that's important. In saying that, are there hard conversations with times? Are players at times frustrated with things? Absolutely. And that's part of the relationship building that I believe in from my job through the coaches. having those conversations. There's hard days too where players are frustrated or I'm frustrated, and but that doesn't mean you wake up because a player is upset at that day and you're just trading them. You know, it's kind of, so I guess my point of saying all that is, yeah, getting players to believe in what we're doing is critically important. Having them, for me, be transparent with them to explain why we're doing things, decisions we're making, have them part of the equation of helping me with the right answers. And then also they need to perform. And if they perform, that's going to be a win-win for them and us. Go ahead.
As far as the goalies go, looked like it didn't have the year many expected. Devin did very well in Rochester. You had James at home playing him. Do you envision Devin starting with the Sabres? What was your goalie plan for next season, I guess, as of now?
Yeah, I think I said this probably right after the season. For me, I have all the faith in the world and UPL and Devin Levi. I believe in my core that both of them are going to be excellent National Hockey League goaltenders. I think we need to play better in front of them, better defend better, and that'll help our goaltending. We're open, from Devin, and what I've, and this is not something new to him. He and I have had this conversation within the last few weeks that I believe in him. The timeline's up to him. He's a young goaltender still. Now he's got some more experience under his belt that when he's ready to take the step, he will, and we'll be ready for that. Do I have a problem if those are our two goalies opening night? Absolutely not. But I'm also, going to make sure that we're smart how we do things and put our team in the best position. So, what I guess most excited about is I believe in those two guys.
Hey, Jerry. How you doing?
Well, I think I've seen some people refer to it even as a two-player draft. We don't quite see it that way. We see more 5, 6, 7 players and then maybe a little bit of a drop-off and a big cluster of players after that. So I guess the intrigue and the nervousness will one of those, how we view the top 6, 7 to be, will one of those be there at 9 for us? And could there be a situation where we move up? If we have the pick, do we move up? Do we move back? If all the players are gone or if one of them is still available there at, 7 or 8?
Do you think, with Kevin saying he's open at number 9, but is there some point that you might advise Kevin to say, well, we're done, maybe we should move back interesting situation.
Yeah, and to some extent we did that last year. We moved down 3 spots because we were pretty confident we were going to get the same player at 14 that we were going to get at 11. You're taking on some risk, and that's our opinion, that the players are equal players, or maybe you're even getting a slightly better player than you thought you were going to get at that spot. It's interesting. I mean, trading the pick is interesting. You got to have teams that want the pick and want to give you NHL players back for the pick. I think I said this the last couple of years, nothing would make the amateur staff more excited than if we're helping our team right now and we trade away our first round pick. So we're always open to that as well.
Jerry, have you gotten any sense from teams higher in the order that maybe there's
yeah.
From what Jerry's saying, if there's that pocket of players, we don't talk about trading,
they
get
done. Yeah, it's historically very challenging to move up, to the very top of the draft. We do have a unique, I think, position, the fact that we have a lot of assets that would be pretty valuable in terms of young prospects, players, extra picks, all that stuff. So I think that gives us every opportunity. Jerry does a really good job of kind of clustering players for me. This is the time to strike. If a deal, if you can make a deal, do it now, because this is the guy. I mean, we did it last year with Zimmer. We had him at a certain spot and we felt that we got to get this kid right now. And we were able to get up and get him. You know, so I think Jerry and his staff work all year to be able to give me that information, because sometimes you only may have 2 minutes to make that decision. So all that work's done beforehand.
I would add to that, too. I think every year there's a lot of teams trying to get up in the draft. And as you say, it rarely happens. I think it would probably have to be part of a big trade for it to happen, or for the most part, you need multiple first-round picks to get up at that point in the draft.
Kevin, every year, like around this time, we hear, hey, teams are going to start using offer sheets more. And then in like a week and a half, that doesn't come to fruition. Do you get the sense that that is a possibility? And then tied to that, with restricted free agents, does that build in a timeline of like, okay, we kind of have to make the decisions on these before that offer sheet?
Yeah, I think it's a mechanism in the CBA that every team has. Well, if you have your picks, every team, you have the ability to look at that. As we go through our own process, we plan out and prepare budget-wise for those type of things. So it's something that, you know, we don't wake up every day fearful of anything. We plan appropriately. But... you know, I think there's it's an element of the CBA that it's not that teams are not wanting to use it or don't understand it. It's that it's not as easy to find the right fit to have it work. You know, you have to have the appropriate picks. You have to have the cap space. You have to, you know, there's just a lot of things that you have to really like the player and all these other areas. So I just think that's why you don't see it that often, because it's just not something that's as easy to pull off. But I think every team's going through their own discussions internally, just like we would. If there's an area to make your team better, you want to do it.
Kevin, what are the advantages or disadvantages of the decentralized draft format this year? And what did you do to prepare for it as an organization?
Well, the advantages, we are at One Bills Drive. You know, maybe that gives us some... I don't know, maybe there's another NHL team using an NFL facility, but not that I know of. So we're pretty fortunate that Terry and Laura and Pete, Brandon, Sean, you know, offered this up when they called and asked me. I jumped at it. I think it's great. So we'll have the ability to have a big space in a room that Brandon uses that's built for this exact type of draft. So for us, that's a huge win, huge benefit. The downside, you know, maybe just the running into people that, you know, on the draft floor at that moment. But it's not like I can't call or text or, you know, so you're not going to not do a deal because you're not together. But, you know, there is something about, you know, the draft, everybody sitting together where, you know, you make eye contact and say, give them a nod and let's chat real quick. You know, so that's something that'll be a little different for all of us. But in terms of workflow, we're treating this just like any other draft and, you know, fortunate that we have this facility. Yeah, I'm glad you asked, Paul. I think this is a role that I've been personally kind of thinking about trying to add someone for a long time. I wanted to be very selective, picky, what's the right ever word to say, in who that person was, because I had there was some really specific criteria that I was looking for in someone in this role, and that was, one, someone that sat in the chair before, that's knows exactly what it feels like in certain moments, whether it's certain things you deal with, pressure, that has perspective to be able to help. Two, I was looking for someone that wanted to work, you know, not that, okay, I'd done that role and I'll be there once in a while if you want a phone call. Yarmo, in my discussions with him, leading up to hiring him, was I'm all in and I'm going to be, you know, every part of this organization he's going to get involved with, add his experience, his perspective. He's, you know, he's going to be based out of Columbus, which in some ways is great because he'll, you know, there's an NHL, it's an NHL city and you get a lot of the pro scouting reports that he can add. But then 4.5 hour drive for him to be, you know, in the car and here in Buffalo, and he'll be here a lot. So he has been, in a very short time, a really, really big asset for me personally, for the whole organization. And, you know, my style is an absolute, you know, in terms of leadership, is collaborative, flat organization where everybody's got a voice, talk to each other, get in the room, debate, sometimes fight, and come out with what we think's the right answer for the Buffalo Sabres. And having his 30 years of knowledge is great, but, you know, 11 years as a general manager is a long time and a lot of experience in a similar type city to what we have in Buffalo in terms of smaller market. And so home run. And besides that, I guess while I'm on it, just a great person, you know, treats people the right way. So many phone calls after hired Yarmo from the hockey world, just wow, did you get a good one, and the respect he has in the league and the credibility. And he chose us. He had a lot of offers and opportunities, and he wanted to be part of the Sabres, and I it meant a lot to me. Yeah, Galley is, you know, when I started the process of really thinking about our organization and where could we improve or elevate, you know, you're looking at every single part. And when I started going down the strength conditioning road a little bit and trying to think about, you know, what do we need to do or why, if we made a decision, his name kept coming up in the hockey world, and he was kind of known as probably the elite strength coach in the world that wasn't, you know, part of an NHL roster. And so as I started getting having conversations quickly, and we hired him quick because, yeah, he was the guy I wanted. And he's going to be a huge, huge, huge asset to our organization. He's made a big impact already in terms of the strength conditioning, his own program, what he's doing. We hired two other strength conditioning staff members that we brought in as well with Galley. So it's a huge part of the offseason. That's why I didn't want to wait around. You know, I wanted to get him in right away and get, you know, working on our players. So excited to have him.
Kevin, a couple of housekeeping issues here. I know the governor's meeting is today. What is Laura Gula's role in the Sabres organization at this point?
Yeah, Laura's been, you know, getting more and more involved in terms of, well, she's an alternate governor. So I would say maybe it was a year or two ago, she went to her first Board of Governors meeting. I was with her, you know, get to meet all the other owners and a lot of people involved at the high level on the business side. And then since then, just been getting more and more involved with, you know, and Pete on the business side and, you know, understanding exactly the different things going on, but then also sitting in and listening and in hockey meetings and, you know, scouting meetings and just taking it all in. And I think that's great. For her to be more involved. So, yeah, she thinks she's in L.A., is it today, whatever the day of the meeting, today or tomorrow, with Pete. And then she'll be here for the draft as well.
And the second thing, what is the status of the assistant coaches?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have an excellent coaching staff, I guess I would say, the way I look at it. Lindy is clearly someone that's done this a long time and has a lot of experience and knows exactly what he's looking for out of a coaching staff. What we've talked about, you know, he and I, is if there's someone to add to the coaching staff that he thinks would be beneficial, additive, then let's do it. And he's had a number of conversations with a lot of people. But overall, I think, you know, I've asked Lindy to just evaluate the coaching staff, give me your thoughts, and if there's, whether it's changes, we would make changes. We're still open to adding though as well, but obviously for Lindy, he's someone that has to trust the people that he's in the trenches with every day, and he clearly does.
So are they under contract for this season?
Yep, every one of our current coaching staff is, yes, under contract.
Sense of why people think that's unusual? You're just running things back from the same unit?
Yeah, I mean, I don't worry about what people think, or I don't pay attention to noise or outside perspective. I think I've been pretty clear. I'll do whatever I believe is right to help the organization, which is something that we've backed up over the years in terms of whether it's coaching changes or, like you just mentioned, a complete new strength conditioning, adding Yarmo, adding Eric Stahl. I mean, Eric Stahl has just left a meeting that had incredible, in my mind, perspective, and, you know, the way he articulates, this is a really big addition to our staff. So, you know, and I think I just said that, like, if there's an upgrade to make in the coaching staff that Lindy or I felt was going to help our team, then we would do it. So not worried about, you know, what people may think. This is about us doing the best we can in our minds to put the best team on the ice and best staff. Yeah, I mean, he's really, to me, an important player for us. He loves Buffalo, wants to be here. That was very clear. And we believe in him and realize, you know, what he brings every night. So there's a lot going on right now in terms of, you know, the draft and just everything around this time of year. But he understands he's a priority. Yeah, it's a great question. You know, we've spent a lot of time since we hired Eric, you know, in meetings and conversations. And if he didn't play with him, he knows someone who did. And I've always believed this. It's really valuable to have someone in your hockey operations department that's pretty fresh off of playing. I mean, to have someone like Eric with the Hall of Fame career, and you've done everything you could possibly do in this game successfully, so is even better. But yeah, I mean, instantly you could ask about a player and he said, hey, you know, this is what I see, here's playing against them, this is what it was like, and it's valuable. But he's obviously, I've known Eric a long time, so that helps. There wasn't too much of a burn-in time for us because of how close we are, but no, he's been great.
With the Panthers winning back-to-back cups, obviously they play a physical, nasty brand of hockey. Like, do you get the sense that, you know, there's a couple guys at the top of this draft, Brady Martin, Porter Martone, and kind of bring a little bit of that. Do you get that is going to be a premium maybe in this draft round? Will you get being a bit of a copycat?
Oh, for sure. There's always recency bias. You know, I think what we try to do is we try to look at our entire prospect pool. It's more about our prospect pool than it is our NHL team when we're drafting. And if there's players that are close in, you know, certain pockets of the draft, and we're maybe lacking something in our prospect pool that we think is ideal for down the road at the NHL level, we might lean one way or another. But we're not going to jump off the list or take a lesser player. Two great defensemen that I think will have long-time NHL careers. Atchison brings very much an old-school approach to the game. I could certainly see him be one of those players that might get the recency bias bump. There's very few players, you know, in junior hockey, college hockey, and Europe that play the way he plays. Very unique, and he brings some offense, especially off the heavy shot as well. Mertka, very unique package to be able to move the way he does at 6'6", almost more agile with the puck, if that's possible. A smart player at both ends. I was over in the Czech Republic early in the year when he wasn't getting a lot of playing time in the men's league over there to see what he was willing to do to move to North America. Comes from, you know, a background where he has very little in the way of resources for hockey or anything outside of hockey. Uprooted, you know, high character kid, a huge ceiling, I think. So two guys that I would certainly expect to be, you know, in the top, you know, three, four, five defensemen off the board.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.